Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Hey everyone, this is Alob. I'm super excited to invite you to another night of worship with Firelight Ministries at Christ Cathedral in the Free Theater, April 26th at 7 p.m. It's going to be another amazing night. Space is limited, so if you're from the age of 18 to 35, if you love Jesus and you just want to encounter God in a deeper way, we want to see you there. This event is sponsored by Spirit-Filled Hearts and Christ Cathedral. It's going to be amazing. We'll see you there.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of a miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit high atop the Tower of Hope here, beautiful Christ Cathedral. Oh, I can't tell you how excited I am. This is like a dream come true. I feel like I won the lottery. I can't even begin to tell you. My very good friend, David Calavita, is here, who's Director of Design and Marketing for LifeTeen. We have been trying so hard to get you on the show. Welcome back, David.
Thanks so much for having me, Deacon. I appreciate it. And your excitement definitely makes me feel good. Thank
you. Well, you're amazing. And we've been blessed to be on a steering committee for evangelization for the Diocese of Orange. There is just so much going on. The title of this show is Evangelization with Youth and Young Adults. You are this director of very important position of design and marketing with LifeTeen. You have been a youth minister. You've been involved in so many different things. I question in my mind whether I use this word because people accuse me at times of being overly dramatic, being Italian. But it's hard for me not to feel like we're in a crisis, you know, and maybe we always have been. But we're in a crisis with so many people falling out of the church. Not just our church, but any Christian church or most churches in general, they're becoming more and more apathetic. But as it relates to our teens, how many of them stick after confirmation? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, statistically, what is it? Somewhere around 80% leave by the time they're 23 years old. Leave the church, and those are teens who have gone through a confirmation program. So I mean, just like think about it as
that's even worse.
Think about it as a business model. Like that's a horrible business model. Yeah, that you lose 80% of your customers. Do you know what I mean? By the time they're 23,
it's unbelievable. We, my brothers and sisters, have the obligation, the responsibility to step up and say, "Count me in. I want to be part of the solution." So what's the issues? Let's define, in your opinion, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit,
for
the name
sure.
of Jesus, we'll cross ourselves in the name of the Father, Son,
yeah.
Holy Spirit. You know, but you've been involved, again, you're a member of LifeTeen, and mm-hmm. tell us the issues and then tell us about what LifeTeen is and how LifeTeen helps with the solution.
Sure, I think, obviously, to say there are more than one issues is an understatement, you know, yeah. but one major issue that I've seen that really, really, I think is poisonous for the young adult community within the church or in our cities is really just this idea of mediocrity. I think that as human beings, we're drawn to mediocrity. Like businesses know this. This is why they, you know, whether they invest in terms of like marketing or aesthetics or even the way a product is talked about or designed, we respond to quality, right? It's a human thing. Quality is usually a sign of importance or a sign of love, right? And I think our church has really failed to push forward quality in a lot of areas in a way that mediocrity is the message that's conveyed.
You know, David, one of the most important things that have ever happened in my life. I mean, I'll step back.
Yeah.
And at 28 years old, I gave my commitment to the Lord in a way that, you know, we call it born again in certain circles. But I gave it my all. Now, it didn't necessarily stick, by the way. You know, I went up and I went down and I went up and I went down. But it was this ongoing commitment. So that was one thing that was really, really important. And then about, I don't even know how many years ago right now, but say 8 or 9 years ago, there was another major threshold for me. And that threshold was the Lord came to me. And interestingly enough, my wife, Marianne, almost at the same time, separately, and the Lord said, do not compromise.
Amen.
And I want to focus on that.
Yeah.
I want to focus on the fact that we try and be all things to all people. We try to be feel good. We have to have these events in which people have fun, and which is great. Let's have fun. Let's
enjoy it. If it serves a purpose.
If it serves a purpose. But let's not forget why we're there.
Right.
I think we water things down too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a whole big blanket over everything because there's so much good happening and so many great leaders and so forth. But as a whole, we're more concerned about, did they have a great time and so forth? And is the social thing right? Rather than, did they get to know the living Christ?
Conversion.
Absolutely. Metanoia.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I would absolutely agree with that. And I can just speak kind of from the perspective of Life Teen. For myself, Life Teen was what kept me Catholic as a teenager. I was, thankfully, I encountered Jesus in a powerful way through a non-denominational evangelical high school that I was attending. But at that same time, a Life Teen program started in a neighboring church. And so I was going to both the evangelical church and the Catholic church for their youth ministry. And encountering Jesus in the Eucharist, in adoration, in confession, these deep moments of our faith is really what sealed the deal in my heart about Catholicism. And I think a lot of times as teenagers, we believe that we can't go below the surface. We just have to have, you know, kind of like pizza parties and confetti. I'm not against pizza parties and confetti. If it's a means to bridge a gap with a teenager in order to lead them deeper into Jesus in the church, in the sacraments. And that's something Life Teen has always promoted. You'd be so surprised. I've been in rooms with literally 4,000, 5,000 teenagers on their face in adoration.
On fire.
Encountering Jesus in powerful ways, like conversions, kids receiving, I mean, visions and dreams and being empowered with the Holy Spirit. Encounter, like, man, confession, the sacrament of confession at these events. There's lines, literally teens will stay in line for 3-4 hours just to go to reconciliation. And the fun and what may be seen as games, they're a part of those events, but it's as a means to win them over, so to speak, and have a relationship, kind of get past some of the initial barriers that teens may come with, right? A lot of them come with chips on their shoulders about what church is. And if you can find a way to build a rapport, kind of whether it's a humorous story or whether it's some sort of fun game or activity that starts to then lead them a little bit deeper and closer into this point.
And that's
amazing.
And that's exactly what we need to do.
Yeah.
We need to make it
has to
enjoyable.
Go somewhere.
We need to make it fun, but there has to be a purpose to what we do.
Absolutely.
And so many times I've seen the purpose is just the social without really the, what does this really mean?
No.
And how is my heart need to be changed? And Life Teen is a great example of what we need in our church today. Tell us more about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Life Teen was founded in the mid-80s, and really at the core of Life Teen, the whole goal is just to lead teens closer to Christ. And our two pillars that we focus on at Life Teen are the presence of Christ in the Eucharist and our Mother Mary. And we always look to those two as kind of a filter of what are we doing? Is it within the faithfulness of the church? Is it leading people to encounter Jesus in the sacraments? And are we honoring, you know, our mother and looking to her intercession through all that? It plays out in a lot of different forms. Obviously, one of the greatest ways we can play it out is at a parish level in terms of like a youth ministry program. The youth ministry itself is always connected to the Mass. At least that's the goal of Life Teen. How a parish implements that may vary, but at the heart of Life Teen, we know that there's nothing greater than the Eucharist for us as human beings, the source and summit of our faith.
Amen.
And so the youth ministry stuff, what we would call like a life night, which would be the kind of gathering of the teens, it's never, ever meant to be a replacement of the Mass or a supplement of the Mass. It's meant to flow from the Mass. So typically, like at the parish that I grew up at and when I implemented it at the parishes I worked for, we had a youth-oriented Mass. In other words, a Mass that it was still fully in line with the church, but maybe the priest would kind of recognize his audience. recognize that we're speaking to teens or young adults or kind of a youth culture. So maybe speak to some of those struggles, those idea of does God have a plan for me? You know, can God love me even when I'm this broken, right? A lot of the things that teenagers maybe ask themselves, right? The music is probably a little bit more contemporary. But from that mass being the source and summit, then we flow into the youth night or the life night that follows afterwards. It always has to stem from the mass. That's our goal, is to lead teens to the Eucharist and from that place continue that ministry and that place of community for teenagers.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus is very clear to us in Luke 12:49. I've come to set the earth ablaze, yeah, and I wish it were already on fire. I've come to set the earth ablaze, our teens ablaze, our young adults, all of us ablaze with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. And that's, I definitely believe 100% that that's what Life Teen does. And we so desperately need it. And the teens may not realize how much they need it.
For sure.
But they start to realize that they can't do this alone, that they need Jesus. They need God.
I think it's the beauty of our human hearts. We're hungering for God, right? And it doesn't matter what age you are. Like Augustine says, the idea, our hearts are restless. And whether you're a 15-year-old or a 50-year-old, your heart is pining for God. And so by having an intentional youth ministry program, aiming to stir the hearts of these teenagers and connect that hunger and thirst to the person they're hungering and thirsting for, miracles like conversions and powerful things happen off the backs of teenagers in society. Businesses, again, tap into youth culture. Our church sometimes use them as this kind of ancillary, just icing on the cake if we happen to have youth ministry, right? Rather than it being a driving force of the church.
And it needs to be something that all of us fight for. We have to fight for our teens and young adults. We have to fight for funding, which is a major issue, correct?
Yeah. I think, again, we kind of mentioned this before we started recording, but Jesus didn't set up his church to fail. Like, Jesus didn't set up the church to be in any sort of deficiency. We have everything we need in God and in his providence. And I believe a lot of our issue doesn't necessarily come, and I know some people probably have contention with this, but I don't believe a lot of our issue comes from a lack of funding. I believe our issues come from a lack of priority.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the reality, my brothers and sisters, is that when we seek God with all of our heart, might, soul, and strength, he will provide.
Absolutely.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added. Matthew 6:33. And, you know, again, one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, God's will, and then they will be satisfied. When we hunger and thirst for Jesus, all of a sudden, everything is solved. You know, the money seems to come. You know, the resources seem to come. People come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden start volunteering, which is absolutely amazing. But we have to have this metanoia. And that's
absolutely
the part, I think, where you and I know, feel the same way.
Absolutely.
You cannot be halfway.
I think the sad truth is, even for a lot of youth ministry programs within our church, young adult programs within our church, even adult programs, if we were to take away the Catholic Church title from that program and just look at the functioning of it, they wouldn't really vary or differ much from, let's say, a normal men's fraternity club out in society. They wouldn't vary much from, let's say, a boys club or a community center, right? And the reality is that we have to have a different variable. We have to have that conversion, that encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's what sets the church apart from any other organization on the planet. But often we run our ministries as if they're just a social service club, some sort of after school hangout, and we pull Jesus out of that equation. And really, I think our church is reaping the sad rewards of that kind of mindset.
You had mentioned that after the teens are confirmed, that 80% of them by the time they're 23 are not in the church at all. This is an issue that Jesus can solve if we allow him to solve. David's going to give us the solution when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Hey everyone, this is Alob. I'm super excited to invite you to another night of worship with Firelight Ministries at Christ Cathedral in the Free Theater, April 26th at 7 p.m. It's going to be another amazing night. Space is limited, so if you're from the age of 18 to 35, if you love Jesus and you just want to encounter God in a deeper way, we want to see you there. This event is sponsored by Spirit-Filled Hearts and Christ Cathedral. It's going to be amazing. We'll see you there.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This year's breakfast event will feature a keynote by Cardinal Timothy Dolan and a Lifetime Achievement Award for Modern Day's Coach of the Year, Bruce Rawlinson, and other surprises.
This is Father Dave Dwyer, and I'll see you on May 4th.
To purchase tickets or be an event sponsor, go to orangecatholicfoundation.org. That's orangecatholicfoundation.org.
Hello everyone, this is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are here on Empowered by the Spirit with David Calavetta. And David is really an amazing, amazing leader of youth and young adults, and he is Director of Design and Marketing with Life Teen. And David, before the break, I had mentioned and actually quoted you by saying 80% of teens who are confirmed drop out of the Catholic Church by the time they're 23. And I said there's one major thing that we can do to allow the Holy Spirit to change that, because we can't change it.
Right.
But Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Father, can change that. What would that be that one thing?
This may seem like a cop-out, Deacon, but I would be remiss if I didn't start here, and that would be with prayer. In the sense of literally on our faces before the sacrament, begging the Holy Spirit to give us vision for what should be. I think there's Nikki Gumbel, if you're familiar with him, he helps run the Alpha program in England, I believe it is. But he says vision comes from a deep dissatisfaction with what is combined with a clear grasp of what could be. And I think there's two phases. A deep dissatisfaction with what is. So step one, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to break our hearts for the condition of our church and our people right now.
Wow.
Right?
We need wow. Amen. 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 I've never heard anything so profound than that. Oh, amen. I'm going crazy. No. Amen. That is exactly what we need. We need to have the reality of having our eyes open.
Right.
You know, in 2 Corinthians 3:16, it says there's a veil over our eyes.
Right.
And we have to allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus to unveil that we are in this situation where we can't, definition of insanity is do the same thing, expect a different result. We can't keep doing the same thing. We got to do something different. This intense, fervent prayer. Go ahead, buddy. I interrupted you. I'm so sorry. I'm so excited.
This is why I love you, Deacon, because I think we're on that same page. But I think as a church, I don't know that our heart breaks for the way we're hemorrhaging youth and young adults right now. If we were a secular business, like, people would be fired.
We'd fire ourselves.
New
right.
Departments would be destroyed. New departments would be made because right. they won't settle for the not having an income, right? Not having a financial profit, right? And yet we're losing souls, something far more valuable than any money, any sort of, currency. And I don't know that our hearts break enough for that. And so I think, but we need Jesus's heart to break for that.
So I'm holding up, which is something you cannot see, which is the Word of God, New American Bible. I have it in my hands. And the Bible tells us many, many things. It brings us the truth, brings us to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He walked along the shore and he said, come follow me. Mm-hmm. And what did the people do? They dropped everything and they said, okay, my life is now changed. We're afraid to do that. We're afraid to have people drop what they're doing. It doesn't mean they have to drop out of school or their vocations or whatever, but to make Jesus the top priority. How many people are making that decision? This is what I think, okay? And the Lord has anointed you as a prophet.
I'll take it.
As an evangelist.
I'll take it.
As a leader, and the Lord has anointed you. This is what I believe in my own personal anointing. We're afraid to ask people to make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
We're more interested in not offending them or making sure, again, that's fun. And we want it to be fun.
Right.
We want it to be enjoyable. But, hey, I realize we're not Protestant and so forth, and Protestants have altar calls. I don't care what it's called. I don't care how you do
it. We should have an altar call at every Mass, because if you think about what's going
on,
that's it. That's
Amen.
It, right? Come to
Amen.
The altar and become one with Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
When you come, receive the body
right.
and blood of Christ.
Right.
It's an altar call, right?
Absolutely.
And so, and what is it besides Amen that we can say is, I believe.
Right.
And that's what Amen means, right? I believe. And so at the end of the day, I believe, and this is my personal opinion, that the reason why so many people drop out, why so many young adults at 29, what the far yeah. majority have none of the above in the nuns,
right.
as,
yeah.
as Bishop Barron talks about, why is that happening? Because they never had that personal encounter with Christ. They never had that decision.
Absolutely. No, as you were talking, I was thinking just from a merely human level, when I look at my life, what has led me to do what maybe would be considered some of the most outlandish or most unreasonable things, right? To leave everything and to go in a direction. It's love. It's when I've encountered, like when I fell in love with my wife, all right, my whole life is going to change so that way I can be with this woman, whatever that means. And I think that's probably a huge problem with a lot of our Catholics is that they've received God or Jesus as information rather than a person that they've fallen in love with. And we need those moments of encounter in order to fall in love with God, in order to receive his love and then to love him in response. And at the end of the day, you can leave information, but you can't leave someone you've fallen in love with.
I have to give a shout out. I was in Los Angeles last night giving a talk to El Shaddai,
yeah.
which is a Filipino organization. We're on fire. And we talked about what does it take to be a disciple, a missionary disciple,
yeah.
not just a disciple that goes to church once in a while, whatever, but someone on fire with the Lord. And I talked about the fact of who do you love?
Right.
When you fell in love with your spouse, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, your husband, your wife, did you not want to tell other people about it?
Right.
Did you not want to constantly say, oh, this person has changed my life. They're so wonderful. You want to tell everyone. You want to stand on the mountaintop and shout from the top of your lungs.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what we have to have with that encounter with Christ, to realize that he loves us passionately, that he died and rose again for us.
Yeah.
Who don't deserve it. Who don't deserve anything other than you know, the opposite.
Right.
And the bottom line is that we want to tell everybody about it because we're in love.
Right.
We're in love. How do we get our teens and young adults, how do we get them to experience that?
Yeah, I think one thing we see Jesus do, I mean, Jesus, he taught a lot in the temple, but he also taught everywhere else. Like he went to the people, right? He was on the beaches. He was in the marketplace. Like he walked among the city. And I think this is important, especially in terms of youth and young adult culture, recognizing where they are. Not just physically, but recognizing where they are in terms of culture, in terms of what interests them, in terms of how they communicate even. And we as a church have to be willing to walk to them, to become incarnational, right? To come to them where they are and walk with them to where God is calling them to be, rather than to sit up on the temple and just say, you should be here, you should be here, you should do this, you should do this. And that's not going to work. We need to come down from the throne, right? And we need to walk with them. And let them encounter God through our relationships, through the prayer, through the sacraments, and then that will lead them to where they need to be, rather than shaking a finger because they're not there already.
Okay. Now, I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
And our listening audience is on pins and needles.
Okay.
We have parents, we have grandparents, we have hopefully teens and young adults listening in, and everyone's waiting now. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. How do we do that? It's one thing to say, to come down where they are. But how do we do that? Because I think what's happening is that we try to come where they are, and that's why we have, and I'm all for music, and you know what we're part of with Andrew Laubacher, and we'll shout out to A-Lob and the concerts that we're doing together as part of Spirit-Filled Hearts, and I'm all for that. I'm all for the praise, the worship. I'm all for those types of environments. But how can we lead them once they experience that into a deeper relationship? Or do we just let the Holy Spirit do it?
Well, I don't want to say just let the Holy Spirit do it, because that sounds like a cop-out. But I think part of it is realizing that the Holy Spirit is moving at the pace of grace in people's hearts, right? And we need to be willing to walk and journey with them. And the beautiful thing is, if you are ignited with a fire or an interest about Catholicism, let's say from a night of encounter, whether it's through worship or through the sacraments, somehow you meet Jesus, you fall in love with Jesus, that love is going to want to lead you to know who it is you just fell in love with, right? And the beautiful thing is our church is a never-ending resource for that, right? We have 2,000 years of tradition and saints, and we have amazing authors in the catechism and scripture. There's resource to dive into. I think the problem is that we expect people to take advantage of these resources without having the why, the fall in love moment. And so for me, a lot of my ministry, and please don't misconstrue this as a cop out for not following through. It's not that, but a lot of my ministry is to help leading them to that moment of encounter. Because I know for me, that's what kept me Catholic. I encountered Absolutely. Jesus in the sacraments. I experienced love, and I couldn't describe what I experienced. Not just an intellect, but an experience of his love in me, present with me. And all I could think of was, what was this? What yeah. was it? I've got to find out what, I know I encountered this thing called God. I need to figure out who he is and what he is, because man, that was the best thing I've ever had in like happen in my life.
That you know that you know that you know.
Exactly.
My brothers and sisters, have you had that encounter? Challenge God. Challenge God.
Absolutely.
Ask God, give me that encounter. And really, if you desire it, you will get it.
You know, I think it's funny. In our church, I feel that sometimes we walk away thinking that it's up to us to create faith, and it's up to us to create love for God. And if you know anything about the theological virtues, right, faith, hope, and love, that these are virtues given to us. We don't manufacture them. Exactly. And so, I mean, what does Scripture say? I think it's in 1 John, right, that we love because he first loved.
Exactly.
And I think we walk away thinking, oh, I just need to love God more. I just need to love God more. I need to have more faith, which is true. But what if the source of that love and the source of the faith wasn't your man-made effort? What if it was, Jesus, give me more love for you because this is all I have? Jesus, give me more faith for you because this is all I have. You need to be the one to give me what you're asking from me.
My brothers and sisters, this is very profound. And my good friend, David Calavetta, who is Director of Design and Marketing for Life Teen, is telling us the truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you want more faith? Ask for it.
Yeah.
Do you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Ask for it. Do you want more love in your life? Ask for it. Do you want more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Ask for it. You know, and we, it's very clear. Matthew 7:7, you know, all my talks or most of my talks, I say, oh, I'm with Bible scholars. You all know what Matthew 7:7 and Luke 11:9 is. And they all put their heads down, you know.
I don't know. Don't make eye contact.
I bet you know. Ask and you will.
Receive.
Seek and you will.
Find.
Knock and the door will be
open to you.
And everyone gets it.
Right.
And then I say, give yourself a round of applause. The
right.
bottom line is that they get it, but they don't understand it. Ask for faith.
Right.
Ask for love. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11 says, we who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much will the Father give us the Amen. Holy Spirit Amen. For those who ask for it?
Absolutely. And I think with that is recognizing the asking, the seeking, and the knocking are not one-time things.
Oh, right? Amen.
It's a lifestyle of asking, of pursuing the Father. It's a lifestyle of seeking his face. It's a lifestyle of knocking on his heart, right? And I love just before that, I believe it's in Matthew, where he gives the analogy of prayer, and he equates it to a neighbor who has locked up his house for the evening, which back then would have been a big process. And then the neighbor says, hey, can you open the door and give me some bread? I have some guests coming. And he's like, are you kidding? My kids are asleep. The door's locked. I can't do this. And Jesus says, if he doesn't give them this bread out of their friendship, he'll give it to him out of his persistency. And I think Jesus is challenging us to be what we would think to be annoying in our pursuit of prayer with him, right? That neighbor annoyed him to the point of getting the response. We can't back down on prayer. We have to pursue. We have to seek. We have to knock and let the Holy Spirit come and fill us, give us vision and direction.
And I feel that one of the greatest prayers is saying, Lord, help me pray.
Absolutely.
Lord, help me in my brokenness. Help me. I don't know how to pray. Help me. Help me in terms of the need to get to know you and the desire. In fact, I don't even have the desire. Help me with desire.
Some of my most honest prayers are, Lord, I want to want you.
Yeah.
Because right now I don't, but I want to want you.
Exactly.
Give me that power. Give me that desire.
Give me that desire. And I feel broken. I feel like I don't want to spend time with you. I feel like I don't want to do these things.
Yeah.
You know, help me with that. You know, my brothers and sisters, we have an adversary, and we're going to come right back to talk about that adversary and the role that we can play in helping teens, young adults, and all of us battle the adversary so that victory is ours. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
Well, I'm excited. I am so excited. I'm excited because David Calavetta is with us, Director of Design and Marketing with Life Team. We've been talking about these personal encounters. We've been talking about life-changing events that can happen in which people get on fire. And you mentioned at a break, actually, even before we started, that you go to an event where, for example, 500 teens are in adoration, worshiping God, giving their heart to Jesus. And yet we also say that 80% of teens or young adults who have been confirmed by the time they're 23 just basically drop out. And we know that that carries on in their 20s. So what happens? Well, I have a belief. What happens? We haven't prepared them for what we call spiritual warfare, which is a Catholic teaching. The Catholic teaching is that there is a force out there, demonic forces out there, to try to really win over people and get them going in that direction. And your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the first times I encountered even the idea of spiritual warfare was as a teenager through a Life Team program. I mean, there was consecutive teachings and youth nights based upon this reality that our lives are opposed. And I think if we go through life not knowing that we're a target, then anything goes, right? But if you know your target, you can start to discern the way that enemy is firing arrows. And obviously that comes through, I think, culture and society is a big way that the enemy attacks. For teens, oh my gosh, just the relativistic mindset that is flooding youth culture, it's so tempting and enticing because it comes under these certain titles that, man, if I were to actually take a stand, then I'm a bigot or I'm a hater or I'm this or I'm that. And all of that underneath that surface is just the enemy finding ways to pull apart any little bit of foundation that they may have even had.
So let me just tell you about an event I went to recently. I'm not going to get too specific. It was great music, great band, and I was giving a talk on discipleship, an all-day retreat. Mm-hmm. And at the break, in one of the women who I would say probably either high school, senior, or early college, I'm not sure. Anyway, she, on the break, was crying. And we went back, and the ministers and I were praying with her. And we said, what's going on? She goes, my boyfriend just broke up with me because he wants to have sex. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep myself from marriage. And I believe in Christ. But he told me he found a girl who said, I'm going to make you feel like a man, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm going to give you what you want. And so she's just like devastated.
Yeah.
And we ministered to her and told her to stand firm and that Jesus was going to find the right person for her.
Yeah.
That was of the Lord. But though that's the daily events they had. Now here's this woman who clearly loves the Lord, clearly wants to do the right thing.
Right.
But this is what I call spiritual warfare. And What do we do to help prepare people for these circumstances?
I think number one, again, not to be redundant, but if they've had that encounter with God, if they have this relationship with Jesus, that's foundational. And then from there, really helping them to see that, that Christ is victorious. So whatever the, this big circumstance is, like for this young woman, that her reality is that part of her life has fallen apart because she's taken a moral stance and this guy has left her out to dry essentially because of that. But if she knows in her heart that Christ is victorious in the circumstance, that in the long run, in the future, whether that's her spouse in the future, her vocation, whatever it may be, that there's going to be a fulfillment, a completion of her heart in that, like to know that Christ will win this circumstance regardless of what's coming. And I think when we talk about spiritual warfare, we have to understand that reality that I once heard someone describe it like this. We think that Jesus and the devil are in a boxing ring duking it out, and we just hope that Jesus will get in a good punch. And like that's not it, though. Like, and the same guy, he said, when you understand even a glimpse of the magnitude of who Jesus is, you cannot underestimate how small Satan is compared to him. And we need to understand that victory, that power. So when our lives are opposed, we press past it. We know we are victorious in Jesus, and come hell, literally, or high water, we're gonna win.
Satan is a liar, my brothers and sisters. Satan is a liar. Satan wants to convince you that he's God. He's not God. He's a created creature.
Not an equal, that's for sure.
There's nowhere close to being equal.
Yeah.
The bottom line is Jesus died and rose again to break the bonds of slavery, to
Amen.
Break the bonds of sin, and turn to Jesus, turn to the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil get in. And you know, this, so many times people think, oh, this is my one true love and I lost that
right.
person. I mean, the reality is that God will bring to you what you need mm-hmm. in life with a spouse, with friends, with,
yeah.
you know, and I remember our good friend Andrew Laubacher, if I could do a shout out to Alob, saying that the devil came to him and said, you're going to lose all your friends. And yeah, guess what? His drinking buddies, I'm
right.
sure other friends were. But he said, I have so many friends, I even have time for them.
Yeah.
You know, that God will give you holy
yeah.
friends and people that will encourage you and build you up.
Yeah.
And it's so important. You see, everyone goes through this experience of thinking, oh, I'm going to give up so much. But we get 1,000,000,000 infinitely more than we mm-hmm. ever give up on anything.
Yeah, I think in my own life, the spiritual warfare really comes just in these lies of the enemy, right? And ultimately, every circumstance, whether it's financial or health or relational, whatever it is, where these lies start to stir in my head, it really comes down to two kind of questions that I find myself hanging up on or tripping over. And it's one, does God really love me like he says he does? And two, is he really as powerful as he claims to be? Because in all these circumstances, if he loves me, then I'm cared for. But I may be cared for, but is he powerful enough to compensate for what I'm about to lose, right? And then here's what he led me to in prayer. The cross proves his love for us, and the resurrection proves his power over us. He has power and love, and it's proven in the cross and resurrection, and that's ours every day.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to talk about something really, really critical, and that is, of course, the sacraments. As you said,
yeah.
leading to the body and blood of Christ with the Eucharist is profound, is the number one to go as often as you can. Go daily,
yeah.
go daily if you possibly can. Give us this day our daily bread. But the sacrament I want to talk about right this second is reconciliation.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Was it a coincidence that I saw you at Our Lady of Queen of Angels that day?
No, not at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And both of us had the desire to go to reconciliation.
Yeah.
Both of us had the desire to get closer to God. What people don't understand is the power of reconciliation
yeah.
to fight off the devil. To fight off the devil.
Absolutely. I remember reading this article. Forgive me, I don't remember his name, but at this time he was one of the chief exorcists in Rome, you know, for the Vatican. And he said that confession, and this is a guy who's seen like crazy stuff as the chief exorcism, right? He said confession is more powerful than exorcism because where exorcism seeks to remove evil from the body, confession removes evil from the soul.
Amen.
And here's a guy who sees the reality of manifestation of spiritual warfare. And he's saying this is intense, but what's more powerful is confession, reconciliation. And you can go every day of your life if you need to and choose to.
Why did Saint Mother Teresa say that I go often daily, right? At least once a week. And,
right.
and I remember one of her books, somebody interviewed her and said, oh, your God must be really tough, you know, to have to do that. And she said, no, my God loves me and gives me the opportunity for grace.
Absolutely.
And that's what reconciliation is, grace. But the reason I talk, and I know you guys emphasize that, and I know, again, my good friend Andrew is constantly saying, let's have worship nights, but let's have confession while they're there, reconciliation and priests there. But do young adults and teens really get that? Do they get not just that, okay, I go to reconciliation because I've sinned and we all sin, but I need to go to reconciliation to build me up along with the Eucharist to help me in this battle, the spiritual warfare I'm in.
Right. Yeah, I think really it depends on how we as a church present it. I've seen a lot of people come to the recognition that confession is a quote-unquote obligation, and I've also seen people come to the realization that confession is an opportunity. And those are two different things. If it's an obligation, something you just have to do, well, then you go through the motions, I'll, you know, play the game, do the dance, get my certificate, and there I'm done. Or it's an opportunity for you not only to be washed of your sins, but to be made strengthened and empowered for those weak areas that you've confessed. And I think, again, it's how we present it. In my experience, if you present it that way as this opportunity to be forgiven, to be strengthened, to be empowered, to be freed, teens and young adults will flock to that. Everywhere we go, we do a lot of kind of random young adult ministry in the diocese. One thing we do is called Mass Underground. We literally have a random secret location, and we announce it a couple, maybe a week ahead of time, hey, 7 p.m., and here's an address, and that's it. And young adults know, they go, we get 400 or 500 people at the Mass in like a venue, like a nightclub that we've rented for the evening, a barn, random locations, restaurants, and we have Mass. And every time we have priests just wandering the parking lots outside, and young adults are just having confession in the corner of a parking lot, in the corner of a nightclub. They're seeking out reconciliation. If we make it present to them, if we give them the opportunity, they see, man, this must be of a value that they're bringing it here to us at our level.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the elephant, and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
How many young adults are living together and basically think nothing's wrong?
Yeah, I don't know the statistic on that, but I'm sure a good amount of them. And probably those who aren't living together wish they were in a situation where they could be living together. They just haven't had the opportunity,
I guess. And this is not, believe me, my brothers and sisters, this is not being judgmental.
No.
At all. This is basically saying is that we have to identify sin in our life because Jesus wants pure of heart.
Right.
He wants all of us. And all of us, as I like to say, are in the biggest room, the room for improvement. All of us are sinners, right? That's where we need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see more and more and more is that, and it's so hard even for me to stand up and say, now, you're coming to all these Christian events and you say the right things, but you're living together, and that's a sin as it relates to if you have sexual relations
and
so forth. And so, but I think we're afraid at times to call it the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is one of the cancers of our church today, with young adults and with teens and so forth. And this isn't just in our church, by the way. I was in the Philippines ministering to young adults and so forth, and I was with the priest and this young adult that was having all kinds of issues and manifestations, actually, and we were doing deliverance prayer. But we were talking about her life, and she said, well, my boyfriend and I, and the Lord just put it in my mind. I said, are you living together? Mm-hmm. She goes, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? You see, that's what people think.
In 2005, my wife and I, we were just engaged at the time, but we were chaperones to go to World Youth Day in Germany. And the housing was arranged by the organization over there. We get there, and the organization, which is, a Catholic organization out there, had arranged for my fiance and I at that time to be in the same bed in the same home. And I said, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. We're not married yet. And they said, no, we know that. I said, no, clearly you don't know that because you have us in the same bed. And what nothing's wrong? I said, I'm sorry. Like, you're going to have to find a place for her and a place for me separate from each other because we're not married yet.
God bless you.
But it was just it was the norm in that culture and just kind of even the Catholic culture in that. And I think obviously here we suffer from that a lot too. In our church, we have the what. The what is the sin, right? Don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. And that will only go so far unless we convey the why.
Okay, and we're going to hold on the why right now, because I can't wait to hear it. So come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This incredible conference is packed every year with men and women who are truly making a difference in our diocese. It's also a wonderful way to raise funds to provide financial aid for students who are unable to afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org and we'll see you on May 4th.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Hey everyone, this is Alob. I'm super excited to invite you to another night of worship with Firelight Ministries at Christ Cathedral in the Free Theater, April 26th at 7 p.m. It's going to be another amazing night. Space is limited, so if you're from the age of 18 to 35, if you love Jesus and you just want to encounter God in a deeper way, we want to see you there. This event is sponsored by Spirit-Filled Hearts and Christ Cathedral. It's going to be amazing. We'll see you there.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We are in a fascinating and critical discussion with David Calavetta, who is Director of Design and Marketing for Life Team, who is on fire! On fire! And thank you for your yes, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you for your yes. We're just talking. We're just laying it out. We're laying out reality right now, and that is the whole issue of sexual immorality among teens and young adults, and certainly adults, too. I mean, is such a big issue, but how people don't really understand the fact that, hey, this is sin. And David was about ready to tell us that it's not good enough just to say, oh, you're a sinner, repent. We have to do more than that, because if we just go with a negative, then people get turned off and they drop out. So tell us the solution.
Yeah, I think I'm not even necessarily against the idea of presenting the negative, but if we reduce Catholicism down to a list of what to do or what not to do, that's just the what. And that will only carry someone so far. That's not going to carry a young adult when they hit college, right? And they're presented with a bunch of things to do, right? So let me, just give you an analogy real quick. If you were to happen upon, I don't know, some teenager with a brand new Ferrari, okay? And he happens to be doing donuts in the middle of a mud field, pulling like some tractor trailer behind it. What would you think of that circumstance? What would you say to them? Probably you'd walk up and you see this teenager completely destroying this Ferrari. He can do it. He's allowed to do what he wants. But if you were to sit down and talk to him and say, like, do you realize what it is you're doing with what it is you have? And if you explain to him the intelligent precision design of that high caliber car, the why, the beauty of it, the power of it, the ingenuity of it, all of a sudden he knows what it is he's holding and realizes what he's holding is so dignified, so to speak, that it should be careful about how we handle it. It's meant for the racetrack and not for the mud pit. Teachings are the same way. The what is just a list, but if we know the why, that, for example, your sexuality is meant to reveal God to the world through the union of man and woman, oh my gosh, all of a sudden your sexuality is more than just a Friday night plaything. Your sexuality conveys eternal truths of God and his love for us, the union of man and woman. That why will then help to understand the what. This is why contraception, this is why abortion, this is why all these things, the what, will only really make sense if we know the why, the beauty, the dignity, the power that was created in our sexuality to reflect God and his desire, designs for his bride, the church.
Again, praise the Lord, and I couldn't agree with you more. And by the way, do you like Ferraris? Is that
do I get one after the show? That's why I'm here. I heard.
You know, there was a reason. I knew when he said Ferrari, I said he wants it.
I'm just praying for the gift of Ferrari from the Holy Spirit.
From heaven. The heaven Ferrari is coming down. Okay.
The clouds part and the Ferraris fall.
Awesome. Awesome. But do we teach people this? Exactly what you just said. Do we really take the time to teach them this?
I think there are certain apostolates and movements that are trying to give them the why, so that way the what makes sense. But overall, I think our general like confirmation programs and religious formations and stuff within a parish really don't touch on the why. We just hit the what, and all of a sudden the church becomes a giant sign that just says no, right?
But we have a great teaching with St. Pope John Paul II, right? What is that? Tell us about it.
In terms of theology of the body, absolutely. And I think, if anything, theology of the body can be summed up, at least from my perspective, is that theology of the body gives us the why to all of the what that culture has been drowning in right now.
Right.
Every sort of moral issue in one way or another really can come back to this notion of the union of man and wife and the implications and the beauty and the power and the life that comes with that. And when that starts to disintegrate, well, culture follows quickly after that. I think it was Fulton Sheen who talked about how the building blocks of society is the community, building blocks of community is the family. Building block of the family, well, really, it's the sexual integration between husband and wife.
My brothers and sisters, this is our 200th show.
Mm.
And I'm so excited.
Ferraris for everyone.
Belly up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Our 200th show, and I couldn't pick a better person, more anointed person than David Calavetta to be on the show to talk about this very, very important subject. You know, I was just thinking to myself as I'm listening to you, oh, God is so good. He's so great. You know, David, you know, you and I have gotten to know each other over the last few years, and I want to get to know you a lot better and vice versa and spend a lot more time with you. I keep coming back to the same thing. We can't compromise.
Amen.
Once we compromise, once we water things mm-hmm. down, everything falls apart. Even when we receive the message, it's the parable of the sower over and over and over again. The seeds come down.
Right.
But then the world, the persecution, right. the enemy, you know, all kinds of challenges that we have just choke us.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose our fruit. We lose the 130, 160, 30-fold,
yeah.
the multiplication of the graces, unmerited favor that God wants to give us
yeah.
because we compromise.
Absolutely.
In the first chapter of James, it says we're like a wave that constantly is being tossed because we're double-minded.
Mm.
We see this in the third chapter in Revelation, the Church of Laodicea. I spit you out of my mouth because you're neither hot or cold.
Warm, yeah.
I know you agree with that, but help us. How do we not compromise?
I would reduce it back to love, and that may sound like a cop-out, but I came across this quote a couple years ago, and the quote is, quality isn't expensive, it's priceless. And the reality is that if we have quality in all of our efforts, a quality relationship with your spouse, right? Where you're feeding it, you're investing into it, you see the value and the dignity of it. If you have quality in our teachings, in our preachings, quality in the way we interact as a community, those things convey to the person you're engaging with that they matter and that they are worth the time and the effort and the investment and the love that you're trying to present to them. I think we suffer when we don't make a quality of love our first and foremost effort as a church. Mediocrity comes in and things begin to fall apart. People don't feel love. They don't experience love.
So you can imagine, guys, I'm now referring to our producer, Michael Amola, and our engineer, Jam and Jim Govanelli. We're together in this evangelization group, right? And he's going into this, I don't want to say tirade, but this emotion about
tirade is accurate. Probably.
This emotion about quality, right? How we have to have quality. And I said, yeah, that's why I'm having you on the show tomorrow.
and then I said, he needs a dictionary to redefine the term quality.
Yeah. But take a look at 1 Peter, my brothers and sisters, 1 Peter 1:22, that says, when we're obedient to the truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and have sincere mutual love, which is what you're talking about, we need to love one another intensely from a pure heart.
Absolutely.
From a pure heart. And, you know, later on in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, above all, let your love for one another be intense. And then it says, because love covers a multitude of sins, that's not a bad thing either.
Absolutely.
Love is the answer. And Jesus is, God is love. And love is the answer to love intensely. And I don't want to say butter, however, because that's an eraser. And Jesus wants us to speak the truth. He always spoke the truth.
Well, yeah, it definitely is. And I think it was Aquinas who said, define love as to will the good for the other. And I think let's just take any ministry effort in our church. Is the effort we're putting into it really out of love to bring good to the other? So relationships, the ministry when they walk into a young adult ministry, the environment of the sanctuary, is it all done because you want the person who walks into that to actually encounter good, right? And one of the greatest goods is to be able to speak to them the truth that will set them free. But we have to do it in a way that is filled with quality, filled with love and passion, and really, I would say, intensity, in a way that they understand this is important because they're putting all this effort, all this heart, all this intention into it.
You and I are brothers from a different mother, my friend.
Praise God, I'll
take
it.
I just love to be with you. All right, two more questions.
Okay.
First question. Now, this is to parents of teens. What do you say to them?
Don't give up and pester your youth minister or your pastor or whoever is in charge at your parish to keep trying to find the effective solution for ministry. We can't just simply do what we've done because that's what we've done. We have to try new methods, new expressions, new ardor. For me, I've found that LifeTeen is a great outlet for that, a great resource for that. Look into that. It may be something else. I don't know. But the thing is, you can't let your parish sit on their butt when it comes to engaging the youth of the culture, because the world is already talking to them. And if we don't enter that conversation, we've lost them not only now, but we've lost them tomorrow.
And it's so important to take a look at two of my favorite verses, which is in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance.
Absolutely.
To do the will of God and receive what he's promised. Don't give up in your teens.
No.
Don't give up no matter what they say. I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to church. They may get involved with drugs or alcohol, whatever, you know, don't give up on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have that perseverance.
Absolutely. I think, I'm not sure where it is in scripture, but I think it's Paul who talks about that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
And I think we have to be that kindness or that loving kindness to our family, to our teenagers, to whoever, in regards to the circumstance, because they're at least going to come in contact with God through our love. And that's what's hopefully going to be a seed that when things go rough, they'll start to let that seed grow.
And to quote you, pray, pray, pray.
Absolutely.
And then pray some more. And take a look at St. Monica.
Absolutely.
Look at St. Monica, and the longer she prayed.
What hope?
Year after year after year after year, and then what came out of that is a great saint.
Yeah,
right?
Not even just a saint, but like a phenomenal saint.
A phenomenal
who's
saint.
Speaking
right?
Now.
Phenomenal. Okay. Second question.
Yes.
The young adults that are listening out there, what do you say to them?
Don't wait for the church to provide a solution. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not talking about truth or relativistic things. I'm saying you know that your brothers and sisters need to be fed. Start forming groups, start opening the Bible, start grab someone who has a guitar, start singing songs and worshiping. We can't wait for the answer necessary to slowly trickle from the top down. It is coming from the top down, but we also need to meet it with our fervor and our hunger and our desire. And the more we try, the more we're going to fail, but the more we're also going to learn what doesn't work and eventually learn what will work in ministering to the community around us.
And seek God from a pure heart.
Absolutely.
You know, and want to do it and have that desire. I guess another thing I would add mm-hmm. is you become who you're with.
Totally.
So it's much better to have one friend who knows the Lord, who's on fire, and spend time with them than 100 friends who don't, that bring you away from the Lord.
Absolutely. That's why I hang out with you, Deacon.
Oh, man. This guy's the greatest. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. You're the best, man. Yeah. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having
me. Can we have you back again?
I would love to come back.
Very,
absolutely.
Very soon. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you and worship you. We thank you for your gift, the gift of life, the gift of teens, young adults, the gift of David, the gift of all of us. We thank you, Lord God, for sending us the Holy Spirit that we may say yes to you from the bottom of our heart. And I pray blessings upon all of you and all of your loved ones. Be healed in the name of Jesus, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And I bless you in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time. Hallelujah.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land Cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange, on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to OCCatholic.com/travel.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs.
Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.